Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
And I'm here to appreciate my sister and my brother-in-law, but I just want to tell you that I know some stuff. We go way back, of course, you know, but I remember Pastor Nate when he was dating my sister. Of course, I would always show up at odd times. And I thank God that Brother Nate was my example in terms of dating. Because one time I walked out the door and he and Gail was just spending a little quiet time together and worship. And it was strong. And then so I razzed him and teased him, you know, hey, what's going on between you and my sister? Man, you better watch out. And so Gail looks up like, Ray, what are you doing here? Why don't you go back in the house? Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Another time, Pastor Nate came over to the house, and he wanted to look good, and he wanted to be smooth, and he had a little sports car, and he drove up in the back alley, and so he was just styling. I mean, he was like, I am bad for days, and I'm the one that's going to marry your sister, bang, and crashed his car. But these are stories that you guys don't know. Somebody's got to tell you that this has been a progressive development for the man of God all through these years. But we preached together, and yeah, we tag team, and we sharpened each other. Iron sharpens iron, and we grew up in the same church, and we experienced the same elevation with God, and he was my prayer partner, and I was his, and we sought God until heaven opened up and changed our life and transitioned us and took us into areas that we never thought possible, and in some cases around the world. And it was apparent to me that Pastor Nate had this call of God. Whenever he preached, I was enthralled. I'm still enthralled. But when it comes to the Greek and Hebrew, even though I've been to Bible college, I leave the Greek and Hebrew to him. How many know, by the time he gets through with the Greek, by the time he gets through with the Hebrew, I'm exhausted. I can only think just so far, you know. And in my own personal study, I'm like, I study, but he actually knows the language. So I'm trying to pronounce it, and I've asked him a time or two, now how do you pronounce this? Okay, all right, just so I don't look dumb. And one time he told me, he said, nobody knows how to pronounce this anyway, just pronounce it the way God gives it to you. All right, 7-Eleven. And one time, we were starting service for our pastor, and a pastor wasn't there yet, and my wife and a Native American gentleman who struggled with alcohol for years and years, and it took a great deal of effort to get him to church, and everyone else was late except my wife, myself, and and Nate, and I'm not sure, Gail, if you were there. I don't remember you being there, but I stood up in the pulpit to open up the service and welcome in the presence of God and stir the faith of the people and actually move forward in the service. And Nate was sitting behind me in the pulpit. And so as I was waxing eloquent, he came right up behind me in front of this Native American guy, and he hit me so hard behind the neck. And when he hit me, I was so shocked because that was out of his character. It was like he was paying me back for all the times that I saw him and Gail worship alone. And he hit me, and I fell on the ground laughing so hard. I fell on the platform, and then Nate fell on the floor, and we laughed for a good 20 minutes. And when we got up, that Indian man, he was just sitting there like, "This is really unique. I'm not sure if this is Catholic. I'm not sure what this is, but you guys are pretty happy." So we've had some great times with God, but I'm just incredibly blessed because I've seen him serve God through extenuating circumstances, and I've seen him and Gail go through enormous setbacks and trials, and they're still fighting the good fight of faith. I appreciate that. I honor that, and I understand that when you find somebody who has weathered the storm, that have not backed up, not relented, not given up, you have to say that they are worthy of much respect and honor. And they have labored among God's people for so many years in Minnesota and here that I'm impressed. And that's why I traveled this distance as often as I can to say thank you for their work and let them know I appreciate them. And it's always great when Nate and I can spend personal time together. But I think he's worthy of all the gratitude that you've shown, and I want to thank you for doing such a splendid job. I've just been impressed since Friday night. I've just been impressed at your worship, your poise, your class, your dignity. I'm just, what can I say? Except that I think this platform is going to get bigger, and I think God's going to actually do things. I had a vision on Friday night. I told Pastor Nate and Pastor Gail about it, but I saw a balloon, and the balloon was just partly blown up. It was probably this much in diameter, but it could go this much. And I saw the worshipers, I saw the team, I saw the networking, and I heard the Lord say that this has to be blown into the effort to walk together, the effort to increase, the effort to expand has to be walked together. And that all of you that have come out of this church and been birthed in some way, some dimension from this ministry, that God has developed a team and you're across the city. And so this team across the city can embrace different parts of the city. And as you continue to build on that and not try to figure out who's going to get the glory, as the church goes up, and I told them this as the Lord showed me, but as the team goes up and as it increases, that everybody's church is going to be blessed and filled with people. And we declare that. We declare it. And we hold on to what God shows us. I'm excited because the scripture really encourages us to seek this unique experience with God that I think at times is very difficult to find. I think this intimacy with God is difficult. I think that's why the psalmist calls it the secret place. Y'all know where I'm going, right? The psalmist calls it a secret place because there is forces arrayed against you to stop you from entering in to this secret place. It can be pain, it can be regret, it can be difficulty, it could be some kind of spiritual setback or collapse. But there is a war going on to keep us as saints of God out of this secret place. And when David found that secret place, he said, God, renew a right spirit in me. Renew a right spirit in me. When he found this secret place, he was able to transition. Now, he found this place before when he was a worshiper. And he found this secret place with God when he went up against Goliath. How many know he came out of the secret place to get Goliath? Huh? He came out of the secret place where he had been with God, where he had communion with God. He came out to say, where's the opposition? Where's the giant? And Saul, the king, tried to put his armor on this boy, but this boy would not have it. And he decided, I can do this with God. And he began to recount what he did to the lion and what he did to the bear. And he began to recount the victory that God had given him as a lad, just as a worshiping lad, finding that secret place with God. And I'm asking you tonight, do you understand that there is a secret place with your name on it reserved for you? That where you find that secret place, you will find your answers. You will find your wisdom. You will find your breakthrough. You will find your healing. You will find your miracle when it comes to finding that secret place. And let's face it, all of us have to find it for ourselves. We have to find that heart-to-heart worship with God. And once we find a heart connection with God and we maintain that heart connection, transformation takes place. And when transformation takes place, the devil has very little option but to come and try to distract you away from that secret place. And the closer you get, oftentimes the more trouble you experience. Because what he's saying by trouble is, you can't get there because you'll hurt me. You can't get there because you'll stop me. You can't get there because the kingdom of God will expand and I've got to do everything I can do to stop you. And saints of God, what we have failed to do is transcend those attacks. We fail to transcend them because we have become myopic. It has become about me and my convenience and about my feelings and about my situation, about my condition. And until we're ready to lay down our lives for him, we're not capable of finding that secret place and sustaining that for any length of time. It's a lifetime of commitment and sacrifice. It's a lifetime of service. It's a lifetime of obedience. It's a lifetime of going after the Spirit of God and saying, I need to hear you. As our brother was saying, I need to be a greater in my response to you. I need to respond more quickly. It is a challenge. I've lived for God, I think, most of my life. There were some years there that I was prodigal. Amen. I can see prodigal on some of y'all, but let's move on. And you know, if you ever been prodigal, you know prodigals. You can pick it up in the spirit, because I know the fight to get home back to the Father is a challenge. But when he got back to his Father, it became a matter of father and son relationship again. And once you struggle your way back, once you fight your way back from whatever the temptation, whatever the addiction, whatever the situation, once you find your way back home, you already know, I'm not leaving again. And that's what happened to me, and that's what happens to many people who lose their way because they're disenchanted with their Christian faith. But the reason why there's so many disgruntled people with Christianity is because we have not preached the intimacy and the relationship and the accountability and the submission to God. And we have put the entire responsibility on the relationship with God. That God, God, God. And God says, I want you to partner with me to destroy the works of the devil. And you can't do that living in his house. Yeah. Living in his temptation. Living in his enticement. Living with his addiction. It's hard. It's hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. We preach grace, but grace has to come with grace and truth so that our lives can be changed. How many want to be changed? I'll tell you, I want to be changed. I've been in this for over 40 years. I have had a glimpse of this ascending glory, and I can never get enough. And I'm never at the place where I say it's enough. I get enough of church. Now, let's be honest. I get enough of church. I get enough of religion. But I don't get enough of him. And if we understand the difference, we'll understand that to be mad at church is not to be mad at God. But God ordained the church so that we could be family, and so that these diamonds in the rough, that he could use us to sharpen one another. Now, I'm just exhorting you. I'm just talking to you. I asked the Lord. He said, there's three things I want you to talk about tonight. I want you to talk about getting my people back to a consistent place in my presence, in my secret place. That is every day. Every day. I was telling my audience this morning that I jump out of bed. I've been trying to practice exercising a little bit when I get out of bed by praising God. As soon as I get out, I start praising God. I'm stiff, getting older. I rebuke that now. But it's probably from that fried chicken I had, and that grease done froze me up. So I had to stop eating that. Now, y'all don't have Popeyes here, right?
Yeah, we do.
You have Popeyes here? That's the devil's joint. Watch out. I ain't playing. Red beans and rice? I said red beans and rice? You'll be late for church for some red beans and rice. And it ain't no joke. And that spicy fried chicken, I told my wife the other day, was sitting in front of Popeyes, and the Lord convicted me and said, stop eating like that. I'm trying to heal you. So I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, God wants us to not be lawless in this matter. He wants us to submit so that he can heal our bodies. She said, I'll take a two-piece extra crispy with red beans and rice. If you're going to talk to me about this, don't talk to me in front of Popeyes, because that's the devil. And he's pulling me in. and my poor wife, not poor wife, but she's a medical doctor, so she should know better. She should be trying to help me get healthy. She should know better. I'm serious. She should know better. But she always asks me, honey, help me lose weight. Help me lose weight. Okay. As soon as I say, honey, we should not eat that. I'll do what I want. You know how old I am? And then she eats at work. She eats at her desk between patients. And I found out she has a whole drawer full of candy. I had to rebuke that. Honey, I rebuke that. You can't come home and not be hungry. That means I don't eat. Because if she's not hungry, she don't fix. Okay, I'm going to try to get down to business here. I'm going to work at it. But he told me, I want them to understand tonight that I'm calling them to this secret place, because as Jesus said, I want to, if you will, if you have the Message Bible, if you will put Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 through 28. I'm not sure if you have the Message Bible, but if you do, please put that up. But what he began to say is that there is, amen. Oh, my notes right there. Okay. Oh, I thought you was after my wallet. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so Oh, thank you, Jesus. You guys, if you know me, I think you love me, but I just come packaged like this. Not a whole lot you can do about it. I've begged God, and I've preached to a crowd of 60,000 people and went all over the world, and I cannot change my personality. I used to grieve about it, but a prophet came to me and said, "That's a gift that you have. Now go and bless the church. Let them laugh. Let them laugh. Because when they laugh, they open up. They're not tight. And then I'm going to give you a word, and then you just zoom it in there." And so I just said, "Okay, Lord. All right, what else you want me to say about Pastor Mullen and Sister Gail?" Man, I'll tell you what, that this God that we serve is so good that he is not stuck up. Huh? He's not so reserved that he can't come down and cry with you. Somebody said, God doesn't cry. Did you know God has emotions? And Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Yeah. And Jesus wept with Lazarus. God manifested in the flesh. You can't tell me that God doesn't feel what you feel, what I feel. And he knows when we've been bruised and when we've been hurt. He knows when we have had setbacks. He knows when we have been persecuted. He understands what we have gone through. But he's asking for, as I mentioned this morning, loyalty more than personal convenience. And that's what excels in the story of Daniel. That he had loyalty and was willing to lay down his life. He refused to stop praying, even though they tried to stop him from praying. He refused to neglect his God under any circumstances. And when they threw him in the lion's den, God stepped in there with him and put that little cat to sleep. And when God told the disciples, he said, "Let's go to the other side." And he put them in a boat. When God put them there, I want you to understand that Jesus, when he walked on the water, he sought. Listen, when Jesus walked on the water, when the disciples were in the boat, he sought to remove the natural curtain from their eyes so that they could see that in the supernatural realm, you have commanding authority. Wow. Pastor, do you have my scriptures? I have it. Because I must be backslid because I have the Message Bible. And oh, okay. The Message Bible is Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. It's awesome. I always have a word from God, but sometimes like today, I preach by inspiration. And when I left the house this morning or hotel, I was worshiping and praising God. He said, and this is for Nate's church, and it may be for any of you, but tell them that the day when Pharaoh took away the straw from building the bricks because of the people's commitment to follow God, that what Satan did will come to an end because they're coming out of Egypt. And when Satan comes and takes away your straw and makes your life harder and more difficult and entrenched in trials and testings, I want you to understand that he's doing that hoping that you won't come out of your bondage. But God brought Israel out of their bondage, and he did that. Why? Because in the face of all opposition, there was somebody, Moses, that stood up and confronted the powers of the devil. And all of us have to be in that position of confronting because we have this New Testament authority. And that now the heavens open and God says, "I'll open up the Red Sea and I'll take you to the other side." Satan tries to make our life difficult. Please limit what he can do by not being overly committed to your problem. People are overly committed to their pain. If you knew how much pain Pastor Nate and Gail has been through, and how they transitioned anyway and transcended that pain, it is what God calls us all to do. And why so many people get stuck in the background of life and they never discover their purpose is because Satan very cleverly used a temptation or used a person or situation to block them from moving forward. How many people think, hey, God can't use me because of the mistakes I've made? No, tell the devil, no, God's going to use me more. Did you hear me? God's going to use me more. Matter of fact, the ministry's going to grow more. I couldn't talk when I was a kid. Gail remembers this. I was Thai tongue. I stuttered. And so my dad got mad with my mother and told her, take this boy someplace and get him some help. Because he'd introduce me to his friends, and they'd say, what's your name, son? And my dad would be embarrassed, and he'd go home and just cuss and just rip up the house. And so finally my mother took me to the hospital and found out that I was Thai tongue. And I couldn't lift my tongue. But they cut my tongue in the hospital, and ever since then I've been able to talk. And I went and got some edumacation. And then God said, I want to take you from where you're at. I want to take you from where you're at, and I want you to reach the world. Television, radio. The only thing I haven't done is write books, and Nate and I are in a contest right now. Pastor, by the end of the year, the contest is. Are you working on your book?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've challenged us that the first one who comes out with... I'm going to lose? There's $1,000 at stake. I'm going to lose? No, I'm going to put out a mini book. I'll get you. I'll get you. I'll take the mini book and No, I can't be beat. The devil is a lie. I can't be beat. I will take a mini book and Brother Kenneth Hagin is in heaven. I will write everything that he put down there. Add a few verses. So Matthew chapter 11. Let's see. I'll find it. Matthew chapter 11. All right. I think this is important just because of the way it says it. I never realized how this was read in here until brother at church showed it to me, and I was astonished. But chapter 11, verse 27, it says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. He said, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father-son operation, coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. And then he said, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? He said, come away with me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He said, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Brothers and sisters, the father-son relationship is the most critical stage of development that you can experience. I said this all over the country. I believe that we have fallen in love with the apostles instead of Jesus. We have fallen in love with the old patriarchs instead of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with loving and appreciating and honoring those that have gone on before us, the fathers of the faith. But I believe that more people do not understand the claims of Christ because they haven't spent time in the four Gospels. I heard a preacher say that the four Gospels were so antiquated that they no longer had any relevance. But you can't pick up the spirit of Jesus in any other context than the Gospels. It's the reason why people don't have a context for their Christianity, because there's been no encounter with Jesus. They've encountered salvation, but it has been on a negligible level. Intellectually, emotionally perhaps, but relationally, they have not been transformed, which is why they don't know the Father. They don't know the Father. Well, I'm following the Apostle Paul. But Paul said, only follow me as I follow Christ. And so if that is true, which it is, then let's move to Christ Jesus himself. And let's be transformed and watch him move, because he said, I can't say anything. And he said, I can't do anything without first seeing it from the Father and hearing it from him. Then I can do it. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to work, I believe that we need a fresh walk with God so that we can have that manna, and that we can come home like the prodigal son and recognize that where we have been was not God. We have spent our efforts in so many ways, but look how old we are now. Look how many years we've been traveling and walking with God. I'm saying that it's time for us to reach the nations of the world. I'm saying that it's time for us to put aside, at least put on the shelf, and have a sense of delayed gratification. To where, God, I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't give me my house. I'm not going to be mad at me if you don't give me the car that I want. I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't give me the business that I want. We have got to get to the place where we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And I can say without a doubt, because it's happened with me, that the more you put God first, the more he intervenes on your behalf. And when God is slow to intervene, he is actually taking you through the process of elimination, delayed gratification, so that you will understand what your choices are. My choice is either for this or for that. Is it for him, or is it for living a comfortable life? Christianity is at a crucible right now. And we have, I think, lost the edge of our Christian witness. Because for the last 30 years, all we have been talking about is sense, knowledge, revelation. We have focused on our needs, and we failed to focus on the need that God has for laborers. God has a need for laborers. Not rich ones. All of us. Not wait until you get blessed. Not wait until prosperity comes. But right now, you are to engage in the kingdom's work and expand his kingdom outside your front door. The church has been overcome by culture. And I'm going to say something, it might seem a little bit harsh. But be careful about Christianity as it has indulged itself in the culture of America. Because we lost true Christianity in our politics. We've lost true Christianity in the way we conduct our services for the appetite of those who may not understand. Now, while that is good in itself to understand what your audience is seeing, you must understand that they have to come into a sense of mystery too. Yeah. And if they don't find mystery, then the witches, the warlocks, the pimps, and all the rest will take over the convincing factor of the influence of Christianity. If Christianity is boring, it is because we have lost the touch of God. We can have anointed services, but that anointing has to go home with us. We need a fresh Pentecost so that when we leave from the presence of God, from the upper room, we can go down into the streets of our city and we can actually take territory for God. Being unashamed and unafraid. I've never met so many Christians that have never introduced one person to Christ. It really bothers me because that's what I cut my teeth on when I saw that he told me to preach the gospel and go into every man's world. When he said that, I have witnesses here. I immediately knew nothing but my testimony in John 3:16, and I hit the streets. When I came in tonight, there were brothers up and down the block. I felt like I wanted to just stop and sit on the stoop with them and just talk to them and find out who they were and what their goal in life was. I stopped and Pastor Nate was there and I just asked him a few questions about the car and the motorcycle. But I wanted to engage them because sometimes we don't understand, but God put the church on the doorstep of hell. And we are to invade the enemy's territory. We walked into a restaurant today. What was the restaurant? Applebee's. We walked in there today. And when we walked in, the gal sat us at the table. And she said, did y'all just come from church? We said, yeah. She said, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I said to the girl, I said, what? How do you want us to pray? What is it that you need? She said, I need prayer for everything. We sat down and we were joined by others and they came to the table. And the server came up and said, y'all just come from church? Yeah. Said, well, I don't know nothing about church. I haven't grown up in church, but I got a little boy and I want to get that little boy in church because the whole world's a mess. She said, I all I know about is being a Catholic. And Sister Marie said, well, let me get your number, and I'll talk to you about the things of God and explain to you what you're asking. And they exchanged phone numbers. And it delighted my heart because the light of God's presence literally captivated the people. And the Spirit of God, his presence, his, if you will, his residue goes with you. And there are influences from the spirit realm when the portals of glory open up. And God literally has a communication set up with you because your heart has been found true and right. And people gravitate to that. One of the things that God has given me is a gift. I'm a visionary. I see things. As a prophetic word, I see things. I get a lot of pictures that God shows me. I hear a lot of things. And God showed me this quorum of ministries. I saw you on a larger platform, and I saw you with hundreds and hundreds of people, and I saw it filtered down into every person's church. You know, sometimes you can do more together than you can apart. Yeah. I think husbands and wives, especially after you've been married a while, you find that out. I told my wife, I said, I don't want to get married to you if you don't understand how the kingdom of God works. I said, if you don't understand the way the kingdom of God works, then don't marry me, because I'm a maniac for Jesus. I believe in business. I believe in evangelism. I believe in winning souls. I believe in outreach. I'm a radical. So if your medical degree is gonna make you feel a little bit ashamed or diminished somehow, then I'm not the man. But I am the man if you want to love Jesus. And when I hear Brother Darrell and Brother Ellis, and when I hear Pastor Franklin, when I hear these guys this week, it has just so elevated my expectation of what is so possible, because these guys are second to none. These guys are second to none. And I don't know if you understand what leadership you're under and what you have, but I'm telling you, it's a privilege to be around people who have an encounter with God and do not have a small vision. A small vision gets you no place. Conquer the world. When you have that mentality, you'll go out into this community and you'll say, hey, I want to offer a business course. How many of you guys ever wanted to be in business? You may be in business 5 years from now or next week. Well, I want to teach you a little bit on business. I asked a Muslim man. He was on my committee because I had a suicide prevention committee. And I asked him. He was my stage manager, and we hosted an event downtown Minneapolis, and we had Muslims and Hindus, and we had atheists and agnostics, and we had unsaved people. And of course, the venue served alcohol. But we got 250 people from all cross sections to come in there. We even asked senators to come and mayors to come. We were just like, this is our first event. And we were committed, but I later on asked the Muslim brother, I said, can you tell me how to grow a church? The same way you'd grow a mosque. He was a businessman. And he said, well, Pastor Ray, he said, this is what I would do. He said, I would gear my church towards having many conferences, a mini conference on the weekend, and I would introduce them to my church. I would have it on a Sunday morning. I would sing one or two worship songs, give them the flavor of what you're doing, and then I would introduce them to the kingdom concept of business and how to take over. I would introduce them to family life, how to communicate in your marriage, how to communicate with your kids. And he went right down the line. I wrote them all down. You know who's going to do it? Come on. Because he said, you cannot reach people that you cannot relate to. Relate, relate, relate. You got to care, you got to care, you got to care. The father-son relationship. And then next and last, he said, I want you to talk about Jabez just a little bit. Anybody ever heard of Jabez? Of course you have. Yeah. He said, I want you to deal with Jabez. And he said, I want to emphasize something here. And let me just do this. First Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Everybody say character. Character. Everybody say integrity. Integrity. Okay. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain. That you would bless me, that you would expand my territory, and that I would not cause pain. Everybody say, stay away from drama. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but I got to say it because the Holy Ghost is telling me to say it. You know these reality shows? You know these talk shows? They take you inside people's lives as if you don't have a life of your own. And they want you to mimic these people. And they want you to dress like them. They want you to sing like them. They want you to argue and fight like them. I'm so disgusted because there is no class on TV. Amen, Walls. Yeah, Pastor Nate taught me to say that. Amen, Walls, when nobody's responding. Just talk to the walls. Housewives. Oh, Lord. I don't know why you have me going down here because you know... Housewives, and then there's Married to Medicine, those, that group, and there's, I don't want to pick on anybody. I'm just telling you, what are we gaining from this mess? He said, bless me that I won't cause pain. That's why I'm glad the soap operas, it's a different kind of soap opera now, but the old soap operas used to come home and the wife would ask, you've been cheating on me? What you been? The suspicion and the assassination emotionally and the trauma that it put you through. Don't you understand that this is the spirit of the world? And he says, help me that I won't cause pain. But the more you hear that, the more you learn that, the more that becomes part of your nature. Even subliminally, it becomes a part of your nature and you don't even know it, and you begin to criticize and judge people. You got an opinion about everything. Shut up! Like my wife told me when I tried to stop her from eating, who are you, the Holy Spirit? No, but I could be his voice. But in the same way, the devil's voice is very loud in our industry, in our culture. I'm asking that you consider that when you get into this secret place of God, don't let drama and pain, other people's pain, take you out of this sacred place. Because that will knock you out so quick, so soon. And everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants their 15 minutes of fame. Well, I think it's time for the African-American culture to do something different. I think it's time to showcase some dignity and some class and conflict management. I think it's time to show our best. Because with the killings of not only black on black crime, but police officers, I think we need to elevate our game so that people understand our value. Because what I heard up here tonight in the last 3 days, don't you think that that influence can be so powerful that suddenly they have that? I heard men and women of value. I heard dignity. I heard honor. Why can't we just convey that to our community? Why can't we operate within the confines of the kingdom principles? And why can't we help change lives? I think we can. It's not that we haven't, but I think we have to be about our Father's business because night is upon us. We're living in a dark world, and it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. I don't want to even start on what I know, but I know some things behind the scenes. Politicians, I've been to the White House, not under this president, but under some previous ones, and we discussed all kinds of issues. I'm asking you that if you want America to love us and appreciate us, at even a limited level, let's go further than our entertainment. Are you listening to me? Let's start putting value to our life, to the lives of our kids. And they say that black men no longer are going to college at the rate of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And we have to encourage our kids to look forward to college. I heard somebody mention last night about my nephews going to college, and all these kids are educated, and I got kids of my own, and I got a business owner in the family, and I got an executive with AT&T in the family, and I've got other positions in my family, and I'm proud of the fact that the education is what lifts them beyond what somebody is able to do to enslave them. Education, home education, as much as you can, education. Take your children out of your area. Take them wherever you can to show them the difference. One of the things that I did with my children is I used to put them in our old jalopy car and take them into wealthy neighborhoods. And we drove hours and months and years, and we could never afford any of that. But we kept driving through these rich neighborhoods. Now, sometimes we had the duck. But we drove through these neighborhoods. And my kids would say, "Well, Daddy, you know, would Jesus give us a house like that? Well, Daddy, why don't we live in this neighborhood?" And so I took my kids out of a neighborhood that threatened to kill their lives and rape their mother. Out of a neighborhood that had murders in the back alley. And I took those kids and I put them in a suburb. And they said, "Daddy, you're not right." I said, "Why?" "Because there ain't no black people here." I said, "Exactly. What I want you to see is the bigger world, and that now you have come into a larger world. And now how are you going to deal with it?" They said, "But Daddy, it's not black culture. We got to have our black culture." I said, "You got to be bilingual. You got to be bilingual. So during the day, you conduct business. At night, what's happening, man? At night you can get down if you want to. But when the sun comes up, you better know something. You better know something." I grew up on welfare because mama couldn't do any better. It was a difficult time. But I refuse to live on anybody's welfare system. Not as long as God gives me breath and I have the capacity to go out there and think for myself. And ask God to open up doors and favor me with access. Wow. When you come to the church, these people, these brothers and sisters this weekend, I'll tell you what, man, I'm so proud of you. I know God's moving all over the country, but I'm so proud because God's going to take you and God's going to promote you, and there's going to be a blessed commitment to accomplish his work. And Pastor Nate, I said this, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago at your appreciation. I think not only are you the senior among us in terms of senior elder, but you're the bishop who watches over the souls of men. And whether you have that title or not, I want you to know that what I heard is that these people depend on you. And that these brothers and sisters pray for you and Gail. And as I leave this church and as I go back home, I prophesy. I just declare, as God has shown me, that there shall be increase. That the door shall open. And you say, "Pastor Ray, I'm going to retire in another year, year and a half." But I'm saying that I hear God saying that you'll not retire from the work assigned you to do because I'm going to take that work and I'm going to increase it, for I have given mighty men answers in their spirit. And even as I took Abraham, and he was a pilgrim in the promised land, I'm going to take what I've already put in you, and I'm going to develop this, and I'm going to visit your ministry and your calling with an anointing and with a vision that is second to none. It's been a process. There's been fire, but you've passed the test. You and your wife have passed the test. And now you shall begin to see the open streams of blessing. Your heart shall expand, your shoulders shall expand and broaden, and there's going to be even more people, leaders, that will join this fellowship of churches because they see the quality of people that have been discipled and raised up. I hear that from the Lord. Receive that in Jesus' name. And I say to anybody else in ministry, that those of you that are believing God, yes, Lord, God is raising the stakes. God is asking you for more of your heart, of your life, of your time. And if you'll take that call to the secret place seriously, he says, I'll bless you like Jabez, and I'll expand your territory. And I'll begin to bring in the resources, and I'll bring in key people, and you'll be able to accomplish what I've assigned for you to do. And Father, I call this neighborhood into the kingdom of God. I call this community, Lord, into the kingdom, and we ask you to influence this community for your glory. We ask you, God, to give us territory, to give this Pastor Franklin and those that are involved in this ministry new territory, new influence. Yeah. And I see the army building, and I see the army moving out. And be fearless, and count not your life dear to yourself. I'll protect you, and I'll give you favor, saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.